primary aspect to feed the local gold industry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the gold board where they sell the refined gold, mm-hmm. some of the miners and those who turn the gold into rings, earrings, and all that. Yeah. So it's now up to us basically
to decide how
we operate, how to expand the market. It is important for us to now export the market to the sub-Saharan African countries, not just letting us know that yes, we are just concentrated in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Let's open our market up to some countries in Africa. You know, South Africa also picks up a lot of our supplies, and also the Eastern African countries do the same. So it's important that one thing I've seen with some of our economic structure is that when we become stronger in terms of a particular sector, we only focus on the European market. Let's look at this. Nigeria has a lot of processing for cocoa in terms of the machineries and stuff. If we are to look at the export to the Europe, compared to sending it to Nigeria to add value and export, I think we could literally do better. But now it comes back to how much an off-taker will pay to get your premium. Ghana, we have that value. How much will you give out in terms of benefit to our country?
Well, before we go quickly, in all of this, right, the purchasing program was to build our reserve. So now that the Bank of Ghana is taking a step aside, what happens to our city then?
Yeah, so that's where the intricacies of the entire arrangement needs to be explained for us. The governor was asked this question during the MPC meeting, but he said they are still deciding on the terms of the agreement. So, but then ultimately, this to build the reserves of the BOG and the country as large. So I think there's always going to be a mechanism where the dollars that's coming from gold board is fed to the BOG, and then maybe the BOG then gives gold board the dollar equivalent. But then there's always the risk of the exchange rate differential, and then that's what caused the loss, majority of the loss.
Let's not forget also the finance ministry has to recapitalize the central bank.
They give them five billion.
All these are stuff that will be happening. They are serious commitment in 2027.
So I think we need to hear from the global CEO. Yes. We have to speak with him one of these days to understand some of the intricacies of the program, because it's a very large program and it's very vulnerable, because once some things are out of place, we might end up with another cocoa board on our hands. So I think these are the conversation that we need to have moving forward.
The picture in front of us is, what if the price of that commodity decided to sleep? That means everybody have to wake up. Yeah. So we must be up before this happens, basically.
Well, definitely, we will be watching as we always do and be bringing you updates as the stories, always come up. But of course, this is our Monday edition of Beyond the Numbers. I am Michelle Ejekwu, and I did this with...
Caleb Ziblin.
And I'm Winston Kaki.
Time now to bring you the AM News, which is sponsored by Palladium Residences. Now, in our first story, digital fraud is rising sharply in Ghana, with 97% of reported cases linked to payment service providers. Now, fintech experts warn that while the country has not reached a crisis point in public trust, the growing trend demands urgent policy action to safeguard Ghana's digital payment ecosystem. The warning emerged at the Maiden Digital Economy Forum, a thought leadership dialogue organized by Joy News and Habtel. My colleague Carlos Caloni has more in the full report.
The Maiden Digital Economy Forum, organized by Joy News in partnership with Habtel, brought together key players in banking, fintech, cybersecurity, and consumers to examine the growing threat facing Ghana's digital payment ecosystem. Panelists warned that rising digital fraud could undermine trust in the sector if urgent policies and interventions are not implemented. Head of Internal Affairs at Habtel, Ebenezer Bafo, revealed that 97% of reported fraud cases are linked to payment service providers, even as fraud levels within traditional banking systems continue to decline.
We are going upwards. Looking at the report that was released recently, when you look at the reports, about 97% of the total fraud that happened is coming from fintechs or PSPs. That means that year on year, the banks seems to be going down, but fintechs or payment service providers are the ones going up. And when it comes to fraud, fraudsters are looking for the point where they can immediately target and quickly move away the funds.
For the Cybersecurity Authority, the biggest threat is not just technology, but the tactics used by fraudsters. The Deputy Director General for Technical Operations, Stephen Kujo Seshi, identifies social engineering through impersonation as the lead.